Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also listen along on 97.9 HD2 or the brand spanking new ESPN Houston app. Good to go on your iPhone. On Android, Friday is the target date. It is so much better. And yeah, we've got issues from time to time with the signal, so get the app. Listen to it on that. If you got the Bluetooth in your car, you're good to go. So the Rockets made two moves in the last 24 hours. The Astros had the night off. They play the Colorado Rockies, worst team in baseball, the next three. What a slump buster they are. Luckily, the Astros aren't in the midst of a slump, so hopefully the Rockies don't become the Astros slump. Honestly, you win two out of three, that is kind of a failure against Colorado. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The Rockets have made a lot of moves this offseason that people love. You trade Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks and the 10th overall pick and 5 second-round picks for Kevin Durant. Extension probably coming, but I don't think he's going to get the max. They signed Dorian Finney-Smith last night to a 4-year, $53 million deal. 41% from three over his career, routinely defending some of the best players on the court. And they also brought back Clint Capella on a 3-year, $21.5 million deal. They had extended Jabari Smith, a 5-year, around $124 million deal that I think Jabari Smith is probably not going to like too long from now, because I think there's a chance he could theoretically play his way into earning a bitter deal if he had signed a different kind of contract. Fred VanVleet's back on a discount. Aaron Holiday, Jayson Tate, Jeff Green also back, as is Steven Adams. Everything they've done thus far, I like. So that's the good. Here's the bad. I'm really liking the direction of this Houston Rockets team. Post James Harden. Post Daryl Morey. I will give the Harden era, the Morey era, their flowers for this. They tried to win. They played a brand of basketball that I found aesthetically gross. I didn't like watching it. But they won. Paul, it doesn't matter how you do it. Just win, baby. Fine, okay. But I like what they've done with Ime Udoka running the show. And I think Raphael Stone has gotten a lot better on the job. And, I mean, right now, over the last 2 years, he's one of the best GMs in basketball, just based off of those two seasons. But even though I like the Rockets right now, there are times where I just cannot F, as the kids say, with Houston Rockets fans. I can't F with you. Because there's a lot of folks online who are just, oh, so dumb. So dumb. I've got no other way to frame it. Confidently dumb. I saw a post that showed Jalen Green highlights, and in the background, they were playing the music from Good Riddance by Green Day. And people were actually reposting this, and I couldn't tell if they were doing this seriously or jokingly, and saying, man, it just didn't work out. I'm choking up right now. I can't breathe, said one person. What? Listen, Green had his moments. Green certainly helped pass the time during those miserable post-Harden years. But we're playing Good Riddance in the background. And the fiddle checks in. It shows Green looking towards the camera with a big old smile on his face. He didn't die. They traded him for one of the best players of this generation.
Black and white photo.
Yes. As if he's dead.
February, whatever. It's 2002 till.
It's ridiculous, Sean.
June of 25.
At least, you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have Rockets fans doing what Jeremy Pena did, where he said, you know, thanks for everything, Jalen Green, and posted a picture of Gerald Green. Apparently, he did that on his TikTok. I don't know if that's a fake Jeremy Pena account, but I saw that pop up. But we got people mad that the Rockets kept Fred VanVleet over Jalen Green. Yes, the guy who was the only reason the Rockets forced a 7-game series against the Warriors. Fred VanVleet, did you not watch the playoffs? Fred VanVleet's the reason that was a series. Fred VanVleet was the only guy who could create offensively. Jalen Green had game two. That's it. Fred VanVleet, at the end of that series, was the only guy that was creating anything for the Rockets. People were like, they got rid of Jalen Green, but they kept Fred VanVleet. Yes, at a discount. You guys are embarrassing yourselves.
Yeah. For a guy making less, by the way.
Yes! Yes!
He's now making less than Jalen Green.
I saw there are some people who are upset that Dylan Brooks is gone, too. Like, in the replies. I mean, I'll miss Dylan Brooks as well because he's fun. But I think that with Dorian Finney-Smith, I think that they have replaced him.
Yeah, yeah. And I this isn't so much a Brooks thing. It's more with Green. And to an extent that people, even up until, this weekend, thirsting for James Harden to come back.
Oh, we'll get to those.
Where this is just like a symptom of people that just fall in love with players and are more of a players, not like they're more of a players fan than they are a Rockets fan, but it's like they pick their guy on the Rockets and they defend them like they are, like they're the Beehive. Like they defend Jalen Green like they're their favorite pop artist, where like they have to go to the wall for this guy.
It's so embarrassing, at all times, though. You know, with Harden, I get it.
Of course it's embarrassing. It's on the internet. Half these things are like the way people use it. Just, that's why, like, I try to use less and less because,
same,
like, I will just be like, oh my God, I can't believe there's people that think this.
But it, you know, some of the accounts that like have really blown up covering these teams, like Bias Houston, who somehow has 50,000 followers, like he posts this picture of the back of Dylan Brooks' head with the Rockets logo braided into his hair, which, by the way, is a ripoff of what Gerald Green did. Speaking of Gerald Green, just a moment ago, actually from Houston, and he comments, he was repping Houston every chance he got. ... This one hurts. Again, he didn't die, and you upgraded. You ultimately upgraded. This team is going in the right direction, and some of you guys are crying about players that have moved on who were not that good to begin with. How low is your bar? James Harden was not that long ago. How have you become so desperate and pathetic? Truly, that's what I do not get. You guys are all of a sudden just complete babies for guys who left to help the Rockets get better. That's how this works. You don't just keep everybody. It's embarrassing. And by the way, I've seen this before. I saw this in Seattle when the Mariners actually had a good season and then they got rid of Kendall Graveman at the trade deadline and sent him to the Astros. Mariners fans were acting like someone got killed. No!
Mariners players were acting like someone got killed.
Yes! They pawned off Rafael Montero on the Astros, for God's sake. Now, it did work out for 1 year for the Astros.
Yeah.
But it's weird. I get, Sean, you're right. It's
like a hyperfixation on like players. Where like these people just need more. I mean, literally, they just need a month of Rockets to actually play basketball before these people turn into Jabari Smith and
yes,
Tari Eason people.
Demon.
Like that's what it'll be. But yeah, you're right. Where it is just this, like,
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and
I don't want to associate with these people.
A fascination. And you brought up the Mariners fans. Like, I'm sure every fan base, I'm sure they all have this. But it is just so, I mean, we got it with the Texan. Who was the Texan that retired the Texans corner.
Yes, Ronald Darby.
Ronald Darby, and people were like,
what are they going to do about quarterback three?
Do they need to go out and get Jair Alexander?
Like, literally, Nick Caserio could like scratch his ass and probably find a good corner.
Yeah, so I think, okay, so I think it's two things. I think there's some people that actually are just like super attached to players and super attached to like, they their own, and this is so lame, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but their own like brand on Twitter, because now everyone's a brand on Twitter, is like, I'm the Jalen Green guy. So I have to, you know, defend Jalen Green to the nth degree, even if I have to sacrifice my my dignity, I have to do that. There's also part of it of, this is more of the, you know, the Texans and the Astra, you know, the Michael Schwabs, the Bias Houstons, the, like these kind of people where it's like their brand is like, I have to comment on every single move that the Rockets make. Every time someone talks about the Rockets, I have to formulate some sort of graphic to have it on there where it's like,
I know, but
like,
guys, this works. You know what drives me crazy, Sean? It works for these people. And it's just like, how? How are people not looking at these people that are blown up on the internet and are forced on my timeline? I don't even follow half of them. And how are you not embarrassed by their existence? Because that's what I am. I'm embarrassed by Biased Houston's existence. I'm embarrassed by Brad O, who all of a sudden thinks he's a Big J journalist and stuff. I'm embarrassed by these people because this is who I share a space with. And okay, bigger deal. He's the radio old man. Fine. At least I have dignity. You losers want James Harden back. You actually wanted him back. I don't care if he was third-team All-NBA last year. He would not fit in with Ime Udoka, much like Cam Whitmore does not currently fit in with Ime Udoka. But he's good, Paul. He's really talented. That doesn't matter. Do you want people that are little whiny bitches on the bench? Because that's what Whitmore's being. He is. I get it. He wants to play. He's 21. He's young. He's dumb. He's full of you-know-what. But he's not going to get to the top of the roster. He's not going to play. Move him elsewhere. And the people that want Harden back, I just think less of you. I really just do. Like, I think you're less of a man. Truly. You had good memories with Harden a while ago. He's not that guy anymore. And Ime Udoka would not F with him in the same way I don't want to F with you if you are somebody that goes back and says, yeah, those Harden days. Did you just watch the stat sheet every night? Is that what you watched? Because that's the only way you could enjoy it. If you're playing fantasy basketball every single night, you're watching that and you'd enjoy it? Like, I'm embarrassed for you. Okay, because we all saw the playoffs together, didn't we? Oh, how did you shake off the last three times? How did you rationalize that to everybody else on the internet? I hate this, and this is my intervention with you guys. You got to stop being as embarrassing. You got to stop. I want to F with you. I want to jump on this bandwagon. You are literally what is keeping me from jumping on the bandwagon. Paul, we don't necessarily want you on the bandwagon. Fine, whatever. I'm just saying, like, you guys are embarrassing yourselves. You children. I'm talking to the youths here. I'm not talking to the Rockets fans who watch the Hakeem Olajuwon era Rockets. You guys know a champion who knows what it takes to win.
Some of those people are embarrassing online, too.
Well, yeah.
Like, that's why I think it's more of just, like, just people just show their ass online all the time. Like, that's just what happens. Like, it's an embarrassing place. It's an embarrassing place.
That's why
I'm not, like, you know, you bring up, like, these people have bigger followings. Like, I don't care.
I know if that's what
you have to do to have a big following, I'm good.
You're right.
I'm good not having one.
You're right. And this is on me, but I mean, it is like lewd acts. There are lewd acts being done upon people that do not know you exist. Like, this is what bothers me about the state of media as a whole. We're in a time where it is very difficult to get access to these players. But does that mean that you have to get down on your knees at every moment possible to kiss their ass, to put them on a pedestal? I'm just surprised by the amount of people that go along with it. We all want our best teams to do well. There's no denying that. I get the idea of being a fan. It's short for fanatic. I get all of that. I truly get it. But I feel like with some of you, everything can't be the best. I saw one of these other ones. This is one of the Texans people, Texans Jacob.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He posted a clip of Amen Thompson in the summer league. And look, I love Amen Thompson. I think he's the most athletic player in the NBA. That's all you need to say. Like, oh, he's got a lot of upside. Will he actually get to the ceiling of all ceilings? I don't know. But
Oh, so 30 seconds of clips with crap music in the background is proof that Amen Thompson's three-point shot is suddenly better? What? What are you talking about? It's been a month. It takes time. This is going to be a several-year process, Amen Thompson becoming the best offensive player he can. It can't happen overnight. It can't happen in a month. It can't. I would love it to happen in a month. This isn't a video game. This is real life. And you people got to stop embarrassing yourselves. And I have to stop getting on the internet. I really do. But I have a show to prep for every single day, and I have no choice, Sean. I got to go here, and I got to navigate through X, clawing and fighting my way through all this crap. I'm like Andy Dufresne. Andy Dufresne. Less poop. Thankfully, there's less poop. I'm not crawling through the poop.
Yeah, it's not all poop. There's a couple. There's a couple like, oh, this is what the Portland big man had to say about at the opening press conference. I like this.
I just can't. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I can't do the internet side of it. I'm great at this side of it. Listen, maybe my career hasn't gone exactly where I thought I would. I know I'm awesome at this. I know you think this is hilarious that I'm like having a midlife crisis ranting about these losers online. We're like, oh, Jason Tate needs more minutes. Cam Whitmore, if we get rid of him, I'm going to kill myself. Like, there's that. That's actually happening out there. And I'm having a midlife crisis over that actually working as opposed to me. I'm this little attention whore that needs people to like my post and retweet my stuff, blah, 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 blah. I get all of that. Like, this is also about me. But could you stop being as embarrassing? That's all I'm asking. Could you stop being as cringe? Sean shaking his head.
Should I start posting like that?
Just and then you just get more followers than me overnight. It would be funny.
I'm not going to create anything new. I'm literally just going to save other people's videos of guys just on the Rockets working out and just being like, watch out, league. We got a demon over here.
From the text in from the 832, you sing like an idiot on air and you're talking about people being an embarrassment. Actually, I have the voice of an angel. Voice of an angel. Okay. You want to criticize anything, criticize my popcorn ceiling that I haven't gotten rid of yet, okay? There you go. That'll get really under my craw. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Do we roll through?
Doesn't have a popcorn ceiling.
Probably not anymore. Jacob's probably living in a TikTok house. With like Bias Houston and Brad O, all these little children. They're in there, you know, they're playing a little NBA 2K. And they're like, let's put something out there. Paul's going to try to kill himself over this one. Just know, every time you post, a little bit of me dies inside.
Making trades on Madden, I should post those.
Yeah. I get a gray hair every single time I see these people posting.
Like the guy who drank the wrong wrong cup.
Yeah.
That's Paul every time he opens up Twitter.
Oh. All right, we're a little late, so I guess we have to roll through here, huh?
Yeah, let's just roll through.
Do you want to do a little Rangers watch? Because something really funny happened last night to the Texas Rangers.
Give me a second. Or
this is the whole music for the Paul Gallant Show. It's the whole music when I put Sean Mays on the spot to do something. Paul, that one texter said that I can't sing. Well, he's full of crap. Look how long I've gone for.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
But also in front?
'Cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
We thought that the Rangers were going to be in front of the Astros going into this season, right? Right? Wrong! Wrong! The Rangers are huge disappointments, at least relative to the baseball cognoscenti. We hope our friend Tab is doing okay. We do miss him. He hasn't called in a while. But the Rangers are 9.5 games back of the Houston Astros after last night. And did anyone watch last night's game? Because last night's game was something else. Last night, the Texas Rangers played the Baltimore Orioles. And in that game, you saw some fireworks at the end. It was actually a hell of a game. I did not watch it live, but I saw one highlight that popped up from it. It was Adolis Garcia doing what Adolis Garcia does best, freaking out and scaring everybody in the process. Remember when in the midst of a close playoff game with the Rangers, I don't know, I think winning at the time, where he got plunked by Brian Abreu, and he threw a massive hissy fit that led to Abreu getting ejected and then suspended the next season for a couple of games. Remember that? Well, last night, in a game between the Orioles and Rangers, let me set the scene. In the top of the 10th inning, Gunnar Henderson hit a two-run homer, followed by another Orioles homer. They took a 6-3 lead in the 10th. And when Gunnar hit this home run, he pimped it. He did a little pimp walk. So in the bottom of the 10th inning, with two runners on down 6-3, Odolis Garcia was at the plate, and he blasted a home run into outer space. I do not think, and you're going to have to look this up on your own, because I don't think I can do it justice. I have never seen a home run be pimped as much as this one did. I mean, you may as well have just, as he was standing there admiring the ball, which he waited to see it land, you could have brought out like a purple velvet suit with little furls on it, giving him a hat, giving him a cane. And he would have flipped that too. And he flipped the hell out of that bat. Tie game, 6-6. Here's the problem. The Orioles scored four and it runs in the 11th inning and they won the game. So Adolis Garcia had one of, and if he wasn't a Ranger, I think we would have appreciated this to a degree. But he's Adolis Garcia, Astros killer on the Texas Rangers, and he's a psycho often out there. Does seem to have very, very limited control over his emotions. Paul, hypocrite much? What was the last 20 or self-aggrandizing minutes? Fair point. But this guy, I've never seen someone with less ability to keep things in check. And I think it is good for baseball. I mean, it was cool. It was actually like a really cool bat flip. But I mean, he's going to get thrown at today, right? If the Rangers and Orioles are playing today, he's getting thrown at first pitch, even though he lost. And I think that he is someone that, like, I just go back to that ALCS moment. And you look at the size of his head and you look at the extreme way that he responds to Brian Abreu throwing at him in a close game where there was no reason for Abreu to throw at him, or this home run where he's bat flipping after Gunnar Henderson has bat flipped. You see his probably borderline angry reactions. And this is where all of the implications about things he might be doing in his offseason program come from. It's all from this. So it's good for baseball, but I would just say if Adolis Garcia is a publicist, like the publicist, you got to step in here and say, hey, man, everyone thinks you're on the juice because of this. You could probably get more endorsements if you did a little less of this. That's all. But it was a pimping and a half.
It was quite the pimp job. Yeah, it was like
he was walking on bissonette pimping.
It was such a pimp job that I think in most highlights, like, it got cut off. Because of how long the celebration was before he took a step up the first baseline.
Yeah.
It was wild.
A camera person caught him and they just stayed on him.
Yeah.
So you actually do get to see the entirety of it. And the Rangers posted it and they said electric. I hope they didn't post that after the Orioles hit the four run.
Yeah.
Scored the four run.
There was like a 15-minute window where they were able to post that.
Okay.
But I don't know if it fell in that 15-minute window, but I don't. It's wild. I do think it's funny every time the Rangers post a post-game graphic of a loss. Astros fans just will quote tweet and say, investigate 2023.
Yeah.
Because, it's the one year that they're good in this entire run.
Remember when Jock Peterson, someone texted in and saying, the Astros' nice little run is coming to an end. It's time for us to take over the West. Again, they're 9 games back. Hang on. Wait a second. A
lot to go.
We are only halfway through, that is for sure.
70-something.
And I have killed the Rangers before, but they are 9.5 games back. And the Astros have the easiest schedule in baseball the rest of the way.
Yikes. Gosh, they better beat the Rockies.
I know, right?
Gotta beat the Rockies. Especially tonight. I don't think you can drop the first one to the Rockies.
No, no, no. And hopefully he wakes up Christian Walker, as we've talked about before. Yeah. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Also on the brand new ESPN Houston app, we are 65 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season. Who's the best number 65 in NFL history? Guess what? He's from H-Town. And a Houston Texans legend is giving back to the community. Stick around.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
We are 65 days away from the start of the NFL season. Number 65. Who's the best in NFL history? Get this. A Houston Oiler. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Elvin Bethea. Here is the voice of God himself, John Facenda of NFL Films, talking about Bethea back in the day with the Love You Blues.
Rookie Elvin Bethea was an offensive tackle until Coach Lim tried him at right defensive end. And it seems the Trenton, New Jersey youngster has found a permanent home.
Six-year veteran Elvin Bethea is the only one in the starting defensive line who wasn't a first-round draft pick. But without a doubt, he is the best. For three consecutive years, Bethea had nabbed all-pro honors. And last season, led the Oilers in quarterback sacks for the fourth time in 5 years with a career high of 17.
He played for the Oilers from 1968 through 1983. His entire career. Had 105 unofficial sacks over the course of his career because for whatever reason, they didn't keep track of sacks back in the day. I think Facenda said he had 17 sacks in that video clip at one point. 73 he's listed online as having 16. That goes to show you it's like not 100% certain how many sacks people had. But early career, if you go from 68 to 76, he was a sack machine. Just about every single year, 10-plus. So an incredible career and pretty cool that the guy actually moved from playing offensive line to defensive line. Also, the best Houston Texan to ever wear number 65. With apologies to Greg Manx. Mike Brizell. Hell yeah. Remember Mike Brizell, anybody? No, you don't? 2011 Houston Texans offensive line, the best offensive line in team history. It's been that long since they've had a great one.
Oh, okay. Now I...
Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers, Mike Brizell, Eric Winston.
Yeah.
Best offensive line in team history. Brizell was a part of it. They let him walk after that season. That's when they drafted Brandon Brooks and also drafted Ben Jones. To those two's credit, they actually did an adequate job of stepping in. But that 2011 offensive line with Arian Foster behind it, holy crap, they were great.
Yeah, that's why Foster ran for, whatever, 1,600 yards.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, fantastic team. Probably. No, I guess the 12 team. But
12 team had the best record.
Those teams are still up there as, like, best Texans teams of all
time. Those two are the best, yeah. In my opinion. If the 11 team's healthy, I think they would have had a shot in the AFC title against the Pats. At the time, I did not, because I was, you know, fresh on the scene, and I thought that the Patriots were gods and everyone else was mere mortals.
Well, they lost to the Ravens that year.
Patriots beat the Ravens in that game. AFC Championship
the Texans
game.
Lost to the Ravens. Ravens lost.
They lost despite like three TJ Yates interceptions. Arian Foster did whatever he wanted in Baltimore. And the problem was for the Ravens should have won that game. Lee Evans caught a touchdown pass, knocked out of his hands by a Patriots defensive back. Mm-hmm. Billy Cundiff misses a game-tying field goal at the gun.
Yeah, Texas could have. I don't think they wouldn't have been favored because they would have been in Foxborough. But
they could have played the Giants in that Super Bowl too. Oh, Eli Manning against not Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean,
yeah,
it's a would have, should have, could have. Yeah. I mean, they were down to their third string quarterback that year. It was a hell of a team that they got that far, and they got so close. Like they had the ball on the Ravens side of the field down a touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go, and TJ Yates threw an awful interception. Anyway, we like TJ Yates, but
shout out to TJ Yates.
That was a big moment for him, and it was a little bit too big. Continuing to go around the National Football League. Sean made me aware of this story. Report, Deshaun Watson was involved in the quarterback room this offseason for the Cleveland Browns. Here's my question. Do they have enough chairs? Do they have enough chairs in the Browns QB room? No, seriously. I've never seen a quarterback room this big. Because you got Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, the two rookies, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. And, I mean, Deshaun Watson is still alive.
And still around.
Yeah, apparently he's still part of the organization, which he should be for all that they're paying him, for God's sake.
The least he could do is show up.
Yeah. It does seem like at times he's been checked out of the organization, at least based off of reporting. So, per Dylan Gabriel, quote, he's been a guy I've connected with. He's a guy I sit by in our line meetings, even in our offensive unit meetings. Being able to be around him and nudge him and ask a question, whether it's for confirmation or his thought. But also when we're talking through concepts, I think it's super cool. We have five guys in the room that can kind of speak to their own experience. And even Deshaun this morning talking about a concept and kind of how he sees it in the red area. It can change the play in a big way, just how you think of it. So appreciate him a bunch, too, just sharing all his knowledge. Do not ask him about massage therapists in Houston. So.
Yeah. I think Deshaun has something to share football-wise with these. I'm mainly talking about the rookies. Flacco and Kenny Pickett, whatever. I would just say, maybe I don't want to hang out with them too much outside of the building. But in the building, I can see how it would be helpful. Like I said, they have so many quarterbacks that we talk about, with kids going to school, like how big is the classroom? Can the teacher really teach all these kids what they need? I think whoever the Browns quarterback coach is, he probably has the same thing. He's like, how am I supposed to teach all five of these people?
Right.
So if you can have Deshaun help out anyway, be a teacher's aide in the Browns quarterback room, I'm all for it.
I think he'd be better as a teacher, sort of like Lawrence Taylor in Waterboy. And kids, that brings me to my next point. Don't do crack. Not to say Deshaun Watson did. I think Watson's advice for off-the-field behavior is probably better than his advice as a player, because when Watson was healthy, Watson also had a lot of bad habits. He was able to get away with them because of his athleticism. He was very good at getting outside of the pocket, but one of his big problems was he extended plays a little bit too long and got sacked, often in moments where the sack was clearly on him. I don't think we'll ever see the old Deshaun Watson again, but hey, he's a mentor now. Very expensive one. Darren Waller, back! He was on Soft Boys last week. He retired after three plays as a fullback where he blocked players that were significantly smaller than him. This is the same guy who was dating Kelsey Plum. We're having a commercial break conversation, Sean and I, about a character on The Bear.
Oh, yeah.
who's constantly reminded about his awesome ex-girlfriend. Darren Waller, you effed up with Kelsey Plum, bro. You screwed up on that one. But Waller, who basically retired and tried to do a rap album, is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. So the Dolphins trade Jonnu Smith to the Steelers yesterday and traded Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. Now they got a tight end back in the building in Miami. Trending up!
Yeah, so Ramsey and Smith out, Fitzpatrick and Darren Waller in.
Yes.
I think that's a downgrade.
Net, probably.
Downgrade.
Waller is always potential. That's what he's always been, because he had the one season.
At a certain point, you stop being potential.
I agree.
He retired. I don't think he's still potential after he retired.
He's gonna be a lot like John Wick. A lot of people have been asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. But you're not back with Kelsey Plum. And honestly, I'd rather be back with Kelsey Plum than back in the NBA or in the NFL. Seems like he sucks in that relationship. Anyway, whatever. Kelsey Plum, take him, woman. Paul Gallant, take him, man. Okay, sorry, Kelsey. Tyreek Hill beat Noah Lyles in a race.
Whoa.
Check that. He beat Noah Lyles' brother.
Oh.
Tyreek Hill ran an 100-meter dash as part of a race, the ATX Sprint Classic in Austin. He ran a 10-10 100-meter dash. Apparently, that's impressive. He finished fourth of seven.
For a guy that, doesn't train to be a sprinter, that is
pretty impressive.
That actually is really good.
I mean, we know how fast he is.
He's probably pushing 30.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think he's past 30. Yeah. Tyreek Hill is one of those players where you do not need to watch for long to know he is faster and quicker than just about everyone out there still at this point in his career. And that is an impressive title to continue to hold up,
yeah,
even if he is perhaps a POS off the field, lengthy track record, guy's fast as hell. But fourth out of seven, perhaps the idea of beating Noah Lyles too much, but he did beat Josephus Lyles, Noah Lyles' younger brother, who ran a 10.25 100-meter dash.
Okay, wow. That, do you think...
That's impressive. What a family. God.
Yes, A, that.
I mean, you're right behind Tyreek Hill in a race, even if you're not qualifying for the world's fastest
yes,
man.
Yes, the second fastest brother, I am assuming, the second yes. fastest brother, is as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about with the Lyles crew. Yeah, I wonder, was he a sub for his brother, or was this planned?
Well, Noah said that there was some sort of thing that happened off.
Yeah, it's like personal issues.
It sounded yeah. like there was some sort of beef between the two. I'm sure it was over money. I bet Noah Lyles asked for more than Tyreek was willing to spend. I would put money on that if I had to put money. You'd have to put a gun to my head to make me bet that money, though, because I'm not really a better. But Noah Lyles ran a 9.79 in the Paris Olympics. Tyreek Hill was a 10.10. Tyreek Hill would have come in last place in the Olympics. Still impressive, considering
yes,
the guy doesn't do it.
Yes, that's still very impressive.
Yeah, still impressive.
He's not a top, what, 8 fastest man alive, but he's not that far off.
Tyreek Hill age. Tyreek Hill is 31, March 1st, 1994.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, impressive. Very fun to play with in Madden as well.
I bet.
It's not fair.
I bet.
Not fair. Sean Mavis is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. The Houston Rockets made two big moves over the last 24 hours, if you want to weigh in on that. And who is the best slump buster in the world of sports? All of that before we hit the road. Hour and 15 to go. Right here on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Also on the brand new ESPN Houston app, available now for Apple, and will be ready to go on Droid on Friday. By the way, that's the 4th of July. Also, tomorrow, check that, Thursday, sorry, losing track of the days. It's a holiday week. Our summer circuit continues thanks to our friends at Power On Electric Bicycle Company. They're giving away a pair of brand new e-bikes, a $4,000 value. We're going to be at Landry's Seafood House in Galveston. Ooh, is that on the seawall? Okay. I've never been there before, so that actually ought to be a lot of fun.
I'm pretty sure it's on the island. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure yesterday. I was like, wait, because I think there's one on the Kima Boardwalk as well, but no.
Don't go to that one.
Don't go to that one.
Yeah.
Go to the one in Galveston.
The one in Galveston.
Good to know.
No, I mean, listeners out there, yes, but Paul,
go to
more
either.
Importantly, you go to the
and
right
I
one.
I got
to
go to the right one because that
would be a hassle.
Hasn't happened to me yet, but... But ever since the East River 9 debacle of a couple of weeks ago.
To be fair, you knew where you're going.
I knew where I was going. I just
that
forgot.
You're going to show up to the wrong place.
It's always the trains. I forgot about the trains.
Yeah.
Forgot.
That's all right.
It's my fault. It's on me.
Hey.
It's on me. So, the Houston Rockets made a couple of moves over the last 24 hours. They signed Dorian Finney-Smith to a 4-year, $53 million deal. 41% from three over his career. Good defender. I think he is a replacement for Dylan Brooks, minus the drama, minus the baggage, and for cheaper. On top of that, they also brought back Clint Capella for a second run with the Rockets, 3 years, $21.5 million deal. Add that to a, I think, rather team-friendly extension for Jabari Smith Jr., 5 years, $120 million or so. And on top of that, trading for Kevin Durant. It's been a great Rockets offseason to this point, and I'm willing to walk away. Just walk away. To quote Humongous from Mad Max, the second movie of the Mad Max franchise starring Mel Gibson, just walk away. Just walk away. You are good. Just walk away. You don't need to do anything more. I'm fine with everything they've done. I think they are loaded when it comes to depth. I know that there are some who are suggesting, oh, sign this guy, sign that guy. And a lot of people are throwing out flashy names. I saw one texter who was saying, what about Marcus Smart? Another texter before, what about Damian Lillard? Nah, you're good right now. To what Sean was saying earlier in the show, they definitely need somebody who can help them create offense more. Because right now, your offensive creators are, in a way, Alperen Şengün, but he needs someone to feed him the ball before he can create offense for other people. You have Fred VanVleet. You have Kevin Durant. You have three guys. You're hoping that Amen Thompson can be that someday. You're hoping that Reed Shepard can be that a little bit more. So you need a little bit more of that. But at this moment in time, I think you're good. And I think signing anybody else, you might be entering into a zone where the contracts that are coming up, the big extensions for a guy like an Amen Thompson, it might put you in a difficult spot to do everything you want to do and to also stay under, what, the second apron for the luxury tax.
Yeah, and Eason
Tari's is the next one, right?
A new contract at some point. So, yes, I think
he'd be looking for Jabari Smith-esque.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
you got compared
I would
to...
I would ask for less, or I would try to negotiate less.
And
with
I'm sure
Eason.
Stone will, but I mean,
but yeah,
if I'm Tari Eason's agent, I'm like, yo, Ime Udoka compared him to Kawhi Leonard once.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my number one piece of evidence to make it happen.
No, for sure. And I think that he is a pretty comparable player to Jabari. It is just the availability difference. That's really my hang up with paying him, because now you are getting to the point of when they had the Core 7 back in the day. Remember the Core 7? That we always push back. I'm like, well, it's the Core 7 for now, but you can't pay all seven of these guys if they all hit. Now, some of them won't hit. Some of them you won't pay. Whatever. We're now kind of getting to that point where you're making tougher decisions on some of these guys, and I think Eason probably is the next one that it's to me, it's just as likely that he gets a new deal that he's not on the team next year. Like, just the financial realities of
–
You'll have Şengün's contract kicking in. You'll have Jabari's contract kicking in.
Yep.
You'll have
second year of Durant. Whatever
Durant on his extension. It just
still will be expensive, even if it's not the max.
It gets tight. So I think for now, this just wing heavy approach is the right way to do things. It's the it's strengthening your strength. We're going to be the biggest, most wingy team in the league, and luckily for these guys, they have enough. Outside, you know, they can do enough things outside on offense that it's not going to kill you. They're not an awesome shooting team still.
Nope.
But I think the trade-off is, hey, we're going to make every team we play a bad shooting team by being on their ass on defense.
D'Amico Ryans would love this team. They swarm.
Yes. Oh, it is the swarmiest. It is the most. It is, again, it
swarmiest
is.
Swarmiest team in NBA history? 713-780-3776.
It's the Texans signing six defensive ends. Like, that's what they did, basically. Yeah. They did the NBA version of that, of getting a bunch of guys that are 6'9" and will be a pain in the ass to deal with. So, I agree with you that the roster is, like, a little bit imbalanced as far as defensive wing heavy versus offensive creator. But I understand the bet that they're making. Also, the wings typically to be are harder to attain than it is a guard that really I'm just asking for, like, better Aaron Holiday is kind of what I'm asking for, which is, like, not something that's unattainable, I'd say, as far as the Rockets go.
You got a stockpile right now, and if you want to make a move, you can because of all these wings that you do. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, does that mean he's going to be here forever? No, I mean, that's a pretty reasonable deal, and someone might theoretically take that. Say the Rockets want to make another move. They can. I'm just saying right now, today through the end of next year, outside of moving Cam Whitmore or something like that, because
moves on the edges of the rotation.
Nothing. That's all I'm looking to do going forward. Texter asks again from the 832, why didn't the Rockets try and get Marcus Smart? Listen, Celtics enthusiast Paul loved Marcus Smart. Is he hurt right now? That's my first question that I would ask. I'm assuming
at the moment, I don't know. But
I would assume
I can
look
up how many games he played.
I love Marcus Smart. The Rockets don't need a Marcus Smart kind of guy anymore. That's what Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet were for. For whatever the last phase was. That's what you sign a guy like Marcus Smart for.
He played a played a combined with the Grizzlies and the Wizards last year, 34 games.
Yeah. He
played 20 the game year before that.
He hasn't played much the last couple of seasons.
Since he left Boston, over 2 years, he's played 54 games.
I mean, what a move by them getting rid of Marcus Smart. Listen, this is a guy that you sign if you're trying to build up a program. You're past that. You know?
I think he's good. Honestly, he's perfect for what the Wizards are trying to do.
Yeah,
they got
exactly.
a bunch of young guys that he's trying to shepherd them. Yeah, I mean,
he probably hates it, but yes, that is what his role is in Washington.
He's a guy who hasn't shot over 35% from three since 2019, where he shot 36. Oof. And that's the high watermark of his career. So doesn't help you with shooting. He's another defensive, I guess he's a defensive guard. No, I'm not dying for Marcus Smart. I think he would have been a great Rocket, like you said, in years past, but I think those years have passed. He also makes $20 million a year.
Pretty good.
He makes as much as Dorian Finney-Smith and Clint Capella combined.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, you don't need him. You don't need him, okay? Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. I get the name brand attachment. I get
it. Yeah, no, I understand why, you know, and I understand the Damian Lillard interest. It's just that he's going to be rehabbing an Achilles, so, not that interested.
713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Your Houston Astros are going to be without Jeremy Peña for a while. And I think it's time for them to do something bold to make sure that his absence isn't missed as much as it's going to be. And by the way, this is throwing up a prayer. But they have to do something. On top of that, where did the Colorado Rockies rank among sports slump busters? The Astros aren't in one, but my God, everyone wants a piece of that dead carcass. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN. 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.